Good morning to each one. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Today is Mother's Day, as was already alluded to. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers here this morning. I do plan to bring a Mother's Day message this morning, so hopefully the men can find some principle to apply to your lives as well. In the Bible, mothers are depicted as honorable beings worthy of the love and respect of their children and the entire community. It was a woman, Mary, who brought the Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world. Each of us either have a mother or have had a mother. Quote from Abraham Lincoln says, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." So for the message this morning, first I want to look at some characteristics of godly mothers, and then I want to move into Proverbs chapter 31 and look at the qualities of a virtuous wife, a virtuous woman. First one is, a godly mother seeks biblical knowledge. Proverbs 15:14. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So a God-fearing mother is intimately connected with God. She maintains a prayer devotional life to keep a discerning heart. She is intentional about growing her knowledge of the truth by reading her Bible daily and committing scripture to memory. She prays to seek God's wisdom and guidance for every day. A godly mother also fears the Lord. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Deuteronomy 6:18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. To have the right understanding of godly parenting, a Christian mother recognizes that biblical motherhood isn't a popularity contest. It's a commitment to God's standards for life and motherhood. A godly mother chooses not to fret about gaining worldly acceptance and meeting unrealistic expectations. Instead, she devotes herself to living in a way that is pleasing to God. A godly mother also trusts in God. Psalm 9, verse 10, And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Fear thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Her trust in God is most evident during the most trying and depleting seasons of her life. Like the widow of Zarephath, she lives by faith and not by sight. She trusts that God will provide for her family's needs. When it seems like she's drowning in despair, she keeps her eyes on God and claims his promises for each day. A godly mother also cultivates a joyful spirit. We see that in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Friends and family who are in the presence of a godly Christian mother can't help but sense the warmth and vibrance of her joy. Her joy is rooted in knowing God, and it will never forsake her as she goes through the challenges of raising children in an ungodly world. Her happy countenance inspires her children to also cultivate a joyful spirit. Godly mother also works willingly. She willingly does the work God has set before her. Proverbs 31:13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't wait for inspiration or motivation to strike in order to get things done. She recognizes that everything she does is a gift and a blessing. From keeping a house clean to folding that huge pile of laundry, she praises God, not because she has to, but because she gets to work with her hands to bless her family and glorify God. Also, a godly mother keeps a pure heart. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. To keep a pure heart, a God-fearing mother is mindful of everything that influences her thoughts, her actions, and emotions. She recognizes that what goes in eventually comes out. When the Holy Spirit convicts her of sin or a habit that is causing her to compromise her beliefs and values, she surrenders them to God without delay. She realizes that what she consumes eventually affects herself and her motherhood journey. A godly mother is also content with what she has. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. She focuses her efforts on pursuing holiness in her thought, her words, and actions. She chooses to be content in whatever circumstance God has given her, just as Paul did in prison. Philippians 4. Her contentment is not conditional, but a conscious commitment. She avoids a greedy and covetous spirit, knowing full well that it will erode her desire for godliness. A godly mother also builds up her house. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. Drawing wisdom and guidance from the Bible, a Christian mother will partner with God and support her husband to build a solid foundation for their home. As one, she and her husband lead their family in worship, prayer, and the reading of the Bible. They engage their children in discussion about challenges and world events in light of Scripture. A godly mother is also a wise steward of her home, her time, and resources. Proverbs 31:27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's responsible. She takes responsibility for her resources and has a plan for the proper management of her home and time. She relies on God and removes distractions like gossip, comparison, social media, frivolous spending. She stewards her God-given life and finds ways to glorify God through every area of her life. A godly mother cheerfully serves her family as unto God. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. As a home missionary, a godly mother recognizes she has been appointed by Christ to as a missionary in her own home. She realizes ministry doesn't only happen in the mission field and in church. It happens daily, in the seemingly mundane and ordinary moments that unfold within the four walls of her home. Her service to God is an act of wholehearted praise and worship. Godly mother lives with unswerving integrity. Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. A God-fearing mother lives with integrity. Her identity is secure in Christ. He empowers her to trust securely in his promises, while raising her children in an ungodly world and seeking to follow the Lord's will in everything, she finds peace, strength, and safety in Christ, no matter how difficult her struggle may be. A godly mother also prays for her children. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. A praying mother intercedes for her children daily. Her prayers protect her children from being deceived by the lies of the world. She begins each day in humble communion with God because she knows Satan is determined to prevent her children from walking in the way of the Lord. She also prays for their salvation and asks God to give them teachable hearts so they may be ready to receive and accept the blessings of engaging and trusting in God's word. A godly mother trains her children in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A God-fearing mother helps her children discover God's will, purpose, and path for their lives. She helps them discover their God-given gifts and talents and how they may best use them to bless others and glorify God. Through her example, she teaches her children how to pray, live, work, serve, and worship. She teaches them to love others, as defined in Scripture. She encourages her children to develop a lifelong love of the Bible. A godly mother practices patience and kindness. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. She shows empathy and understanding for her children. Her goal is to reflect the character of Christ in her words and actions. She realizes this is not possible without his help. She prays throughout the day to ask for God's help, to first be patient and kind with herself, so she may also have capacity to do the same for her children. A godly mother lives with Christ-like selflessness. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. A God-fearing mother finds joy in serving and loving others as Jesus did. She volunteers her time for a good cause and makes herself available for friends, family, and strangers. She is an active listener to whoever needs a listening ear. She never needs to help others. And she practices empathy by being patient with others instead of being judgmental. She puts herself in their shoes and tries to understand what they're going through. Next is a godly mother seeks godly counsel. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. She seeks counsel and guidance from God-fearing mentors who encourage her and keep her accountable. While seeking counsel, she walks in obedience and searches Scripture for wisdom, direction, and clarity. Throughout the Bible, we read about godly mothers who raised their children to love, honor, and serve God. Mothers like Jochebed, Elizabeth, and Mary raised their sons who ministered to and led God's people. Mothers in the Bible were committed, hardworking, and resourceful. They willingly did the work that was before them. Proverbs 31:13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. You can turn with me to Proverbs 23. Read verses 22 to 25. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother, she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Next is 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now let's go to Proverbs 31. This is the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, and it begins by saying, these are the words of King Lemuel. What do we know about Lemuel? Well, not a whole lot, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us that he was a king. And we see here in these verses that he had a wise mother. Lemuel means devoted to God or belonging to God. Here we have the wise counsel recorded here. I'll read verses 1 to 9. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. I'll stop there. The counsel from King Lemuel's mother is good advice for any leader. She warns Lemuel not to fall into the trap of immorality. Chasing after women will destroy a king's strength. We see that in verse 3. This is a mother counseling her son against living a life of only pursuing women and doing it to satisfy his fleshly desires. She is saying, don't make your life about pursuing sensual pleasures. It will eat away at your strength, and ultimately, that will destroy you. In Solomon's case, that is the way it was. It's the duty of mothers as well as fathers to teach their children what is good, that they may do what is good, and that they would avoid doing that which is evil. Notice, mothers, that it was Lemuel's mother that taught him here. Lemuel had a Jewish mother who taught him the fear of the Lord and God's wisdom. A mother has a tremendous teaching opportunity when the wife is a homemaker. Verse 2, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Notice the three-way connection. He was her son, but then he was also the son of her womb. She had given birth to him, and finally, he was the son of her vows. It was not uncommon for them to make a vow to God, that if God gave her a son, she would dedicate him to live according to God's wisdom. Verse 4, she warns her son against the dangers of alcohol. A drunken king is never a good king. A ruler who craves beer and wine will pervert justice and act lawlessly. This exhortation to Lemuel from his mother is to stay away from alcohol. The kings didn't just sit around on a throne all day. They were involved daily in justice. The kings would hear cases. People would come to them with disputes. It was the court of their day. Solomon was famous for making this decision he did with the two women in the same house who each had a baby. One of them laid on her baby and suffocated it during the night. Then while her friend was sleeping, she takes her baby and lays it beside her friend. Then she takes her friend's baby, the live baby, and puts it in bed with her. The friend wakes up and realizes that the baby that is dead, the baby that is with her, is not her baby. The woman who laid on her baby says, "Oh, yes, it is." So they brought this case before Solomon. How would you go about deciding a case like that? In those days, doing a DNA test was not an option. Solomon says, "Fine, we can figure out whose baby this is. Bring me a sword and we will cut the baby in two and give each." The mother, out of great compassion for her child, said, "No, no, don't harm the baby. Give it to her. She may have the baby." Said, "Give the baby to her. She is the baby's mother." This was great wisdom. But this is the kind of things that kings did. They had to be on top of their game, or there would be problems. Justice would not have been served. So the mother of Lemuel tells him here, "Don't give yourself to alcohol, lest you pervert the right ways of the afflicted, lest your judgment be skewed by a chemical imbalance." See, alcohol affects your ability to make sound decisions. If you want to think straight, don't consume those kinds of things. Don't do it. Verse 4, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." In verse 6, it talks about giving strong drink to those who are perishing, given as a medicine or as an anesthetic. I can't say that right. They would give alcoholic drinks to condemn criminals as an act of mercy to make them less aware of the torture that they endured in dying. What did they give Jesus prior to his crucifixion? They gave him vinegar mixed with gall. Did he drink it? No, he didn't drink it. Jesus refused any mitigation of his sufferings on our behalf. Another place we see in Scripture that we see alcohol used as a medicine is in the parable of the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, we read, "He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he puts the man on his donkey and hauls him off to an inn to take care of him." Then in verse 8 and 9, King Lemuel's mother instructs her son about the necessity of true justice. In the NIV, Proverbs 31:8 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." The word destitute means that they have nothing. It's not that they are poor. It means they have nothing. So it says, "Speak up and judge fairly. Plead the cause of the poor and needy." Lemuel's mother exhorts him to be a godly and just king. Lemuel's mother also spoke to him about the qualities of a virtuous wife. The following verses speak of her character and activity, giving Lemuel an idea of the woman to search for and to prize. "Women, God created you with wonderful gifts and abilities. Be who God created you. Be who God created you to be. Let those gifts shine and use them to bless your family and loved ones, and use them to the best of your ability." All right, this next section in the original Hebrew is an acrostic poem. That means that each verse begins with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet in acrostic form. This passage describes the kind of wife the Christian man should pray for and seek after. This passage shows the kind of character a Christian woman can have as she fears and follows the Lord. I'll pick up reading verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household, are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So back to verse 10. Who can find an excellent wife? It's not talking about in the sense of beautiful. It's talking about a woman of noble character, a woman of strength, having moral power and excellence, one who is frugal and faithful. It says, who can find it? It's not conveying the thought that this woman is impossible to find. Rather, she's the kind of woman that men would want to look for. This woman is amazing. This woman is far more precious than jewels. She is worth way more than rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the kind of woman that a man sees as a true partner. He trusts completely in her. He knows it is her heart to bless him and the family. Her heart is not just to live to serve herself. A virtuous wife does her husband good and not evil. She continues being a blessing all the days of her life. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This woman is industrious. She is also a willing worker. She is thrifty. She is self-motivated. She even rises while it is yet night to either get or to prepare food for her household. She works willingly with her hands. Verse 16, we see she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She puts thought into it before she buys the field. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. In verse 17, we see she is willing to work hard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She is willing to work long hours. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. See, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is also a woman of great compassion. Even with all her busyness and the things she is doing for her family, she takes time to reach out to those that have less than what she does. Verse 21, we see she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. This woman is prepared. She is ready for the cold weather. She has fine winter clothes for everyone in the family. We also see this woman knows how to sew. She is a good seamstress. She makes the bed sheets. She even makes some nice clothes for herself. We come to verse 23. The prior verses, she is, she is, she is. Verse 23 says her husband. Verse 24 says she makes. Here we are talking about this virtuous woman, and we come to verse 23. It says her husband is known in the gates. What does that have to do with her? The context is about her. Her husband is known and respected at the city gates because of his wife, because of who she is, because of her faithful diligence. Wives, you play a very important part of who your husband is. Michelle does very well in supporting me and encouraging me as her husband, and I'm thankful for that. There's times I'll tell Michelle, you know, I'm just not cut out for this. And she will respond with a positive comment or an, oh, yes, you can. With the Lord's help, you can do it. Wives, be that encouragement for your husbands. Husbands, reciprocate that love and encouragement to your wives as well. They need it too. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She not only has her family's clothing needs taken care of, she also is making garments to sell. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She cares even more about the display of her character than the outward display of her clothing. When it comes to character, she is one of the best dressed, clothed with strength and honor, so that she shall rejoice not only in the present day, but also in the time to come. This is quite the woman. She is industrious. She is a go-getter. She is trustworthy. She is thrifty. She is motivated. She is a hard worker, and she is a willing worker. Now let's check out her mouth and see what her speech is like. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Both her speech and her words are marked by wisdom and kindness. She is both wise and kind. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This woman is duty conscious. Now let's look at the results of this in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. A woman of such character and wisdom that both her children and her husband not only see but also speak of the blessedness of the woman who brings such blessing to their household. This is not only a description of a virtuous wife, but also an exhortation to children and a husband to bless and praise the mother and wife of godly character. We have the fifth commandment in Exodus 20, honor thy father and thy mother. Children are to honor their father and their mother. The word honor means to esteem and value as precious. Honor goes beyond simple respect for position, and it extends to the heart. You show respect with your words and with your attitude, not only when you are in their presence, but also when you're not. Her children arise up and call her blessed. The last words in the Old Testament speak of turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. Another way to honor your parents is by submitting to their authority. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Another way you honor your parents is by accepting their discipline and instruction. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is also a woman of great compassion. I already covered that. Let's go to verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's God's perspective. The most important and fundamental thing about the Proverbs 31 woman is explained at the end of the chapter. She fears the Lord. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. This fear is a sense of awe and wonder. It is the fear of faith. Psalm 130, 3 and 4 explains, if you, Lord, keep a record of sin, then who could stand? But there is forgiveness that you may be feared. The real Proverbs 31 mother does not read the description of an excellent wife as a performance list to earn God's favor. She is not building a spiritual resume to be proud of because her only hope is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no good news or wisdom apart from Jesus. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The Proverbs 31 woman is busy living life. She's busy living the life she has in the fear of the Lord, which is in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She is not sitting around wishing she had someone else's life. The list of activities the text described her being involved in is very mundane. It is a list of daily, ordinary things that she does for her husband, her household, and community. In closing, a quote from Charles Spurgeon reads this way. Those who think that a woman detained at home by her little family is doing nothing think the reverse of what is true. Scarcely can the godly mother quit her home for a place of worship, but dream not that she is lost to the work of the church. Far from it, she is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty. End quote. So may the Lord bless each of you as you serve him in what he has called you to. Shall we have a song?